This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My dear sisters and brothers, Inna lillahi wa inna illahi raj'un. Verily to Allah do we belong, and verily unto Him we shall return. On Saturday morning, I got a text message from a dear friend of mine who told me that her sister had passed away. An amazing young woman that I knew for more than 20 years now. She passed away on the evening of Friday, September the 13th, on a Jummah. And I couldn't sleep once I read that text message. It was in the early morning hours and I couldn't sleep. And I just kept trying to, and I kept thinking, and I decided that I would share her story with you guys, inshallah, and pray to Allah Azza wa Jal that her story makes a difference in your lives and helps someone out there who may be struggling and trying to understand. And her story was one that really, really touched my heart, and I thought, subhanAllah, I should share this, inshallah. So I'm going to start off with talking about her in her youth, you know. When I knew her, she was tall, thin, beautiful, mashallah, so much that the girls were envious of her. That at the age of 14 years old, she looked like she was 18, subhanAllah. And that when her proposals began, they began at that age, subhanAllah. By the age of 16, she was engaged, and soon after high school, she was married. It looked like a life of a fairy tale. What all the girls dream of, finding Prince Charming and getting married early and then starting life, inshallah. Well, she did do that. She began her life that way. And after she got married, she went to start college. And soon, while she was attending college, she got pregnant. She had her first child. An amazing, beautiful young boy, mashallah. And it wasn't soon after that that she found out that she had cancer. It was a shock to all of us because she was so young and so beautiful and vibrant, and she had so many dreams and goals and ambitions that no one could understand. Cancer is for old people or for later aged people, not for young 20-year-olds. This doesn't make sense, right? Well, it does make sense. It is what Allah had planned, and it is what took place. So I got to see her at her father's funeral. And that was when I had first actually, it was just shortly after I began wearing the hijab and changing my own life for a better life, for a life of submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when I saw her, she was smiling and she was doing okay. But she didn't want to talk about the deen. She didn't want to. She thought she was young. And as most of our youth think, it's not time for me yet. I still have time. This is when we get older. And although she had cancer back then, Shaitan had preferred to keep her busy with thinking about the dunya and the amusements of the dunya rather than turning to Allah Azza wa Jal. And so after that, I moved. I was in another state and she's in a different state, and we didn't really keep in touch, but I know her older sister, and her and I kept in touch pretty well, and her sister would keep me updated. And through the years, her cancer got worse. Even though she went to chemo treatment and therapy and stuff, her cancer got worse. And I kept trying to make my intention to go visit her, but she was very far away, and so many things were happening in my life with children and homeschooling that it was difficult to add this trip to my schedule until this year. This year, March, I decided that inshallah I was going close enough there that I would take a few more days off, and my parents were with me and my children were with me, and I decided to visit her inshallah ta'ala. And I really, really wanted to see her. But before we go into the visit, I want to tell you what inspired me to visit her. And it was the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah, the Almighty and Sublime be Him, will say on the day of resurrection, O son of Adam, I fell ill and you visited me not. And he will say, O my Lord, how should I visit you when you are the Lord of the worlds? And he will say, did you not know that my servant so-and-so had fallen ill? And had you visited him, then you would have found me with him. O son of Adam, I asked you for food and you fed me not. And he will say, my Lord, how should I feed you when you are the Lord of the worlds? He will say, did you not know that my servant so-and-so asked you for food, and had you fed him, you would have surely found the reward for doing so with me. And O son of Adam, I asked you to give me to drink, and you gave me not. And he will say, O my Lord, how should I give you to drink when you are the Lord of the worlds? And he will say, my servant so-and-so asked you to give him to drink, and you gave him not. Had you given him something to drink, you'd have surely found with me that reward. And this is Hadith Qudsi number 18. It's also found in the Book of Muslim. So it was this hadith that was reflecting in my mind. And I was thinking about it, and I knew I had to go visit her because I didn't know how long she had to live. And I didn't know if I would have a chance to visit her again. And I knew that I needed to see her one more time. And subhanAllah, Eliza Wajal made it happen. And when I saw her, she looked beautiful, mashallah, and healthy. But as she told me, this was a good week in cancer. You see, with cancer, 1 week you could have a good week for 2 weeks or so. And then the next week or two, you can be thin and exhausted and you could lose weight. And you could lose all your hair. And subhanAllah, I was blessed to be in a good week. And it was a good cycle. And I didn't know if she was going to let me come in. Because before this, I had texted her and called her, and she never returned my calls or my text messages. So I wasn't sure if she would let me in her life, even coming there. So I took a risk going this to visit her. But subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had a plan that we'd be together. And, you know, I went over there, and it was really, really difficult. Because I saw her, and I saw her, you know, trying her best to be positive and happy and to be who she was in her youth. But I knew that the cancer had drained her. I knew that it was so much pain and so much pain, and she didn't want to show it because I was only there for a short time. And so she kept on positive, and we were there, and she sat there and she was talking to me, and we talked about the hereafter, and I told her stories about the grave and this life and the importance of what we need to do to prepare for the next life. And we both cried, and we cried, and we really connected in understanding. And she said she wished that I was closer because she needed to hear this. But in her life, what her life was about wasn't this. And that I would be going back, and it would be just, you know, who was around her and her surroundings. Her friends didn't do this. They didn't practice the deen. You know, she has a sister, mashallah, I was telling you, that's a great friend of mine. And her sister does it, but she's also far away from her. But she knew she wanted to be in this path. She knew she wanted to get closer to Allah. So she knew it was the right way. And she had even thought about wearing the hijab. But because of her environment and her surrounding and her friends and the lifestyle that she had, it was very difficult for her to do it because there wasn't enough support. And she felt she was too weak and alone to be able to do it alone. And so, subhanAllah, we talked. And she just kept on trying to be positive. And it was the last time I saw her. I didn't know if it was going to be the last time I was going to see her. But it was the last time I saw her. And when I received the text message from her sister telling me that she had passed away, my heart was truly, truly sad. For I wanted to see her again. I thought, With more time, inshallah, she can change just like anyone else. With more time. With more time, they will make the better decision. With more time. But her time is done. Her time is done. And I want to share with you guys that while she was going through chemo and all that difficulty, she would shut herself down. She would just close the doors. And because she would be in so much pain, she would turn herself to what comforted her in dunya, what comforted her prior to getting sick and getting ill and feeling so much pain. She would turn to the television, to the music, to the CDs, to her friends who would come and dress her up. And she would turn to that when she was going through her most difficult test. My dear sisters and brothers, that's quite scary. For truly, if we're not turning to Allah Azza wa Jalla in our time of difficulty, then subhanAllah, we've truly, truly lost the essence of understanding this beautiful deen. And it's not just in the time of difficulty that we should be turning to Allah Azza wa Jalla. It should be 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. It should be in our time of ease that we're going to Him. So when the time of difficulty arrives, we know that that's our only answer. But because in our time of ease, we turn to the television and to the music and to the garbage, then when our time of difficulty comes, we turn again to that stuff. We don't go to Allah Azza wa Jal. And this was so hard for her sister to witness, that when these times would come, she would go and sit next to her and tell her, let's listen to the Quran, you know, and try to talk about stuff. But she didn't want to hear it. She would just turn on her television and that would be what comforted her. My dearest sisters and brothers, isn't it time to change what comforts us? Shouldn't our comforts be with our beautiful deen, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I'm telling you this now, my dear sisters and brothers. What you are surrounding yourselves with now, what is comforting you and making you happy now, that will be with you towards the end, a'udhu billah. And for a lot of us, that is not what we want with us towards the end. Because I ask this question all the time. I say, if you knew that today was your last day, if you knew that today was your last day, how would you behave? How would you act? And people tell me all the time, oh my God, Zohar, I would pray more. I would wake up and I would fast and I would do all these things. I would get closer to Allah. I would listen to more Quran. I would do this and that. And I say, if you know that you would do that for your last day, then why aren't you doing that every single day? Because no one knows when their last day is coming. Except Allah Azza wa Jal. None of us know. So I'm telling you, it is so important that you surround yourself while you're healthy and while you're okay and while you have the sanity to do the right stuff, to comfort you with the right comforts, so that when the time of difficulty and pain come, it's easy for you to go back to Allah Azza wa Jal and turn to Him. For only He can take our pain away. For only He can make it go away. For only He can give us that peace and sakina that we really need. I reflected, my dear sisters and brothers, how short this life is and how shaitan is deceiving us by having us running around looking for happiness in places that there is no happiness, like movies and music and concerts and parties. My dear sisters and brothers, those may look like a mirage of happiness. For moments, you think you're happy, but then you go back and you're looking for the next high. What else should I do? What else is going to make me happy? Is it going to be the next movie that's out? Is it going to be the dinner out with my husband and to the concert, buying the next dress for the next wedding, the next party? You're constantly looking for that high because you're not satisfied. You're not satisfied, and when you're so busy running around for all this, when do you have time for Allah Azza wa Jal? When do you have time to learn your Quran and your deen and to practice it and to go and do charity work and make a difference when you're running around? When you become the soccer mom of going back and doing everything that you think is gonna, you know, literally benefit your child. You think it's the piano lessons and the drum lessons and the soccer practice and the, you know, everything else that you got going for them. Well, where is Quran in this, you know, big formula? Where is Allah Azza wa Jal? Where is them understanding their deen and understanding that something happened? How do they connect? How do they not go into depression, your children? How do they become better Muslims? How does their iman become stronger? How? My dear sisters and brothers, true happiness only lies within our understanding of our deen, within our relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. I reflected how I recently visited my family in California and how everyone was so busy running around for dunya and more food for our party and more this and more that, going out to eat. They could stay up till 2 in the morning and talk. But when it comes to Fajr, they couldn't wake up to pray. A'udhu Billah. And they wouldn't wake up their children, subhanAllah. You know, you've got kids. You're responsible for these kids. You're responsible for them, my dear sisters and brothers. You get up for salah, wake them up. I don't care they have to go to school. They will not be in regret in the hereafter that they woke up for salah. Believe me. It's okay if they don't get straight A's, but they did their salahs 5 times a day. And if they're praying 5 times a day and they know their deen, they're close to Allah, then subhanAllah, inshallah, they'll get the straight A's that you're aiming for. But don't let them neglect their deen for the dunya. Don't let them go to sleep without praying Isha Salah. Make this a habit for your children, my dear sisters and brothers. Make it a habit. Make it part of their daily life and routine. It doesn't matter if you're out or in the house. Make it a habit. So back to her story, my dear sisters and brothers. Soon after I spoke to her, the text message, and I was reflecting and I started writing this and I wanted to talk about death and dying. I wanted to wait until I spoke to her sister to find out how her last few weeks were. And she told me how her sister became weaker and weaker through chemotherapy. And she became in more and more pain. And all she wanted was morphine. Until the doctors realized that it wasn't helping her anymore. They had to stop her. And so she told me, her sister was in tears telling me, This beautiful girl who's 33 years old when she died. She once was one of the most beautiful women we had seen. She once took care of this beautiful hair and this beautiful body. And she just did everything and she cared so much about it. She spent hours fixing it. And here she was dying with no hair on her head. And she didn't care anymore. Everything that she had put all those times and hours in fixing herself up and being out now didn't matter, my dear sisters and brothers. She told me how her sister, towards the end, didn't even want her clothes and she was like, get rid of it, get rid of all of this. I'm not comfortable, I don't want it. She had told her sister to even get rid of her jewelry. She didn't care anymore for it. She was in so much pain towards the end that she could barely speak. And her sister, mashallah, she's an amazing sister. She was by her side the entire time. And this is the kind of sister each one of us needs, my dear sisters and brothers. One who's reminding us to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness constantly. One that's reminding us to keep our tongue moist with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the kind of sister we need by our side. But you know what the irony of this was, my dear sisters and brothers? The irony was she was only one person by her side doing this, besides her husband who would have the Quran on be next to her. Her friends would come in and they would visit her at the hospital while she was ill and in her last stages of death. And they would say, let's fix you up. Let's put some makeup on you and let's make you look more beautiful and let's dress you up. This is what they were thinking. They thought that's what she needed. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. And when the Quran would be on, these friends would say, she doesn't want to listen to this. It makes her think about death and dying. Well, she's dying. She's dying, my dear sisters and brothers. And we need to be in reality that we're all going to be dying one day. And imagine it's your sister, a'udhu billah, or your brother that's passing away. And this is what your friends are doing. This is what her friends or his friends are doing to her or him. SubhanAllah. Alhamdulillah for the sister was strong enough. And that she told them some amazing words, which I want all of you to ponder and reflect on, my dear sisters and brothers. She said, the Quran is for us to listen to and to apply daily while we are alive and as we're leaving this world. The Quran is the only thing that we should be listening to during this time when we're in so much pain. The Quran is not to use when someone has passed away and then put on a shelf until the next death. This is a cultural thing and not the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And she said, I'm sorry you feel this way, but I know what my sister needs. And she went and she turned the Quran back on. Her sister passed away that night. She passed away that night. And her sister was just sitting next to her, trying her best to remind her. My dear sisters and brothers, as her sister was telling me this with tears in her eyes, she was telling me, Zora, I don't know if I did enough. I don't know. I keep thinking I should have done more. I should have done more. And I said, SubhanAllah, you did your best. And that's all that counts right now. You did your best and Allah knows it. I said, but if you weren't there, imagine, a'udhu billah, how the ending may have been. So my dear sister, she was blessed to have her sister by her side reminding her of this. Well, what about the rest of us? What about our death? What if it's destined to be quick or while we're sleeping and we don't have enough time to ask Allah Azza wa Jalla for forgiveness one last time or to say the Shahada one last time? Every one of us has our time stamped. My dear sisters and brothers, when will we wake up if not now? When? When? You tell me when. Death is right around the corner and we should be planning for it as we're planning the most important event of our life. And we should be asking Allah Azza wa Jal to make our last deed our best deed. And if we are not planning for it now, then who is in loss, my dear sisters and brothers? Us. Us. And we can blame no one but ourselves. And we can blame no one but ourselves. So my big question to all of you out there listening to me is, are you ready to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are you ready to meet your Creator? I want you to think about this question for a moment and I want you to answer honestly. And if you answered no, then my dear sisters and brothers, it's time for change. It's time for real change. It's time to submit and be the best servants of Allah Azza wa Jalla that we can be, inshallah. It's time to know who our Lord really is and what His expectations are from us. And it's time to know truly what Islam is and what we should be doing and what we should be refraining from. What should we be staying away from? And I tell you, my dear sisters and brothers, recently I was somewhere at someone's house and I said, I saw something that was wrong and I asked, I said, what is that? And this individual told me and I said, that's bidah. And this individual looked at me and said, yeah, well, we do a lot of bidah. And I was, my heart felt so much pain hearing these words. How can you say we do a lot of bidah, a'udhu billah? How? What does that mean? That you don't care what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to stay away from? That it doesn't matter? How can we say these words and not be affected? Astaghfirullah. I was very, very, very much in pain at that moment. And I said, Ya Allah, may you guide us all to the straight path. Ya Allah, this life is only a few days long. And may you guide us to the straight path. And may you help us do the things that you're pleased with and help us stay away from the things that would anger you. My dear sisters and brothers, there's no excuses. It's time to change. Even if the change will be in small dosages, my dear sisters and brothers, take this. Do it. Just make small goals and work on it. Even if, you know, I tell this to the sisters all the time, if you are not ready to wear the hijab yet, then stop, you know, make changes from tank top to short sleeves to long sleeves. Make small changes. Grow from there. But just commit to changing. And go step by step. But don't let this life go by so quickly that you don't have time for the important stuff. And don't be one of those people who say, I know, when someone tells you about something, yeah, I know, but yet you sit there and you don't do it, and you don't care, then what's the point of you knowing? What's the point of you having this knowledge that you don't act upon it? And you're arrogant by saying, I know. SubhanAllah, my dear sisters and brothers, be of those who submit fully. And I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to forgive our sisters and brothers, all of them who have passed away, and give them Jannah al-Firdaus. and to accept all of their good deeds. Ameen. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He give us all a good end, and let our last deed be our best deed, and that He accepts it from us. Ameen. And lastly, I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give us all patience and perseverance as we go through the tests of life, and help us pass our tests with flying colors. Ameen. Jazakallah khairan for listening, and subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.